All right, everybody. Get all my board members here, wherever they are, wandering around. We have enough people here to get started for a bit. Hey, Marilyn, Mike, is Mike here? Mike's over here. Got enough from everybody?
Yeah.
All right, we got a quorum. We get started. You're here? All right, everybody's here. Okay, good morning, everyone. First, I'd like to apologize for starting late. I hate starting late, and we're 35 minutes late, but we had a number of issues in our executive session and briefing by the new safety commission. The FTA was here and some other discussions we had, so I apologize, but here we are. So first, I'd like to begin by welcoming Ms. Sonia Proctor from the Transportation Security. Nope, wrong one. Start with the agenda. Okay, thank God you're here. All right, first item on the agenda is call to order, and we do a roll call.
Chairman Evans?
Here.
All right, Clarence Crawford? Okay. Mr. Jim Corcoran? Okay. And David Horner? All right, Corbett Price? Michael Goldman? All right, Christian Dorsey? And Director McMillan? Thank you. You have a quorum.
All right, thank you. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. So I'd like to move the agenda. Is there a second? Discussion of the agenda. Mr. Goldman.
Chair, there's one issue on the consent item. I just moved to the action item for some discussion among the members. That's the one dealing with general manager compensation.
Okay. Is that a vote? Okay. Another one?
And yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move item C from the consent agenda also to the regular hearing.
Okay. For discussion. So item C, the motion is to move item C and item F to the regular agenda from the consent agenda. Is that correct? For discussion. Is that correct?
That's
okay.
Correct.
Okay. So any discussion on, I need a second? Okay. All right. Is there a second? All right. Any discussion, further discussion on the matter? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay. Any further discussion of the agenda? So the agenda has been moved and seconded as amended. So all in favor of the agenda as amended, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for July 12th, 2018 board meeting, July 12th, 2018 executive session, September 13th, 2018 executive session. I'd like to move the approval of the minutes. Is there a second? Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the employee spotlight for Daryl Alston, station manager, Mr. Wiedefeld.
Good morning. For this month's employee spotlight, we recognize station manager Mr. Alston. Please stand. Thank you, sir. Earlier this year, Mr. Alston was working at the King Street station when a customer approached him to report a person in a parking lot who appeared to be suffering from a drug overdose. Understanding the potential severity of the situation, Mr. Alston immediately retrieved the first aid kit and the AED defibrillator, which is stored at each station manager's kiosk. After rushing from the station entrance to the parking lot, Mr. Alston reached the customer in need of assistance and proceeded to administer chest compression. Mr. Alston continued his efforts until the Arlington County Fire Department arrived on the scene to administer additional assistance. The customer's pulse returned and she was transported to a hospital for treatment. Metro employees are trained to administer CPR and AED assistance to customers who have experienced a medical emergency, and I applaud you and your quick response that helped save this customer's life. It's also clear from having met you previously that Mr. Alston goes that extra mile to keep our customers, not just during emergencies, but day to day, day in and day out to help them. So thank you, Mr. Alston. Please join us up in front, please.
Okay, thank you very much. And next item on our agenda is the public comment. And so I have a list of all the individuals who signed up. And we'll start with, two minutes. Everybody has 2 minutes. Mr. Golot, right?
Yes, got it right.
Golot, I finally got it right. After 2.5 years, but that's good. All right, well, welcome, Mr. Golot.
Thanks. Since the transit employer's retirement benefit plan has been in the news, I'd like to make a comment on it. First,
can you pull your mic closer?
Pull your mic up there, Mr.
We can't,
Golot.
Thank
can't
you.
Hear you.
Can we start over again?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Since the transit employer's retirement fund has been in the news lately, I'd like to make some comments on it. First, the unfunded liability of the plan, as reported by Aon, a report your group did, is $734 million, not the $2.8 billion, which includes all the pension plans at Metro and the health care for retirees. And the $734 million unfunded liability, there's actually an amortization table that was worked out between the union and management in 2008-2009 after the crisis to pay that money off. So basically, over time, that liability will decrease and is decreasing each year. The second issue is the question of retiree health insurance. When I talked to Jack last week or so, he was not aware, and I'd like to make aware to all the members of the board, is that retiree health insurance for new employees hired after January 1st, 2010 was eliminated by an arbitration award in that year. And that liability over time will also go away, although I think that's unfortunate. He knows now, that's for sure. Third of all, we're a modest contribution to the plan. In 1983, Metro was contributing 18.3% of wages to the TERP. Today, that contribution from the authority is 11.5%. It's over a 60% decrease in the required contribution. A lot of that is because the close attention the union is paid to investment policy and to making sure the plan is adequately funded. The next point is, before 2012, the parties agreed that the best way to fund the plan was to have the authority pay the full cost of it. The reason for that was, one, it meant lower wages because basically we took a wage freeze. Two, it meant that money, since it was put directly into the plan, was not subject to FICA taxes. That saves Metro $1 million to $1.5 million a year on, I'll be done in just about 10 seconds. And third is, the reason is that non-vested employees, when they leave the authority under the old plan, got no money back. Now they get money back that they had contributed. So this increases the cost of the plan. The TERP has a positive cash flow. There's more money coming in every year than goes out. So that gives us the ability to withstand stock market crashes and to, you know, keep the plan functioning well. So finally, the plan is well funded, it's stable, and there's no reason to change it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Golot. Mr. Andrew Tompkins. Mr. Tompkins.
Hey, guys. I'm a little nervous here because this is my first time really doing this, but I'm from the community myself and wanted to express some comments about the policies and procedures, in particular music buskers, because I am a musician and been playing piano for a really long time and for enjoyment. And I've had disputes, or at least discrepancies between what's allowed, what music, where musicians can play. And I just had some concerns that it's not consistent everywhere I'm going. And I'll be completely honest in saying I have been playing music in the Metro stations, in particular Crystal City, but have not received any negative feedback from station managers or customers in. So it is my understanding it is not legal to play in the stations, but I just have a disagreement with that because I think that music especially live, is something that a lot of people enjoy and that can be brought into the community. I think it would be a great way to just serve people through the DC area. And I'd be sure to keep my music crowd friendly and that it's not offensive to anyone. And I do leave a tip jar out if people want to give money, but it's purely voluntary. They don't have to. And I can say for sure that I've received a lot of just general tips from the public. And I just want people to understand that I really enjoy it. And I'd like to, if at all possible, have the policy maybe not lifted per se, but just allow more freedom for anybody who wants to come into the stations to play music for the enjoyment of the customers and the general public. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comments and appreciate your coming down. You did a great job. Thank you. Our next public commenter is Zuri, and your handwriting is a little hard. It's T-E-S-H, looks like E-R-I-A, Teixeira.
I got that right.
Yeah. Okay, great. Welcome to the Metro Board.
All right, thank you. My name is Zuri Teixeira. I'm a AA rail car maintenance personnel. I stand here before this board today in awe at the hypocrisy I'm witnessing. Paul Wiedefield, who has not turned a wrench, operated a bus or train, serviced an escalator, repaired a track, or swept the floor, has been praised as the reason for Metro's improvement, while the labor force that has performed that work has been vilified. Metro has seen railcar performance increase up 88%, which is due to hard work of skilled maintenance personnel and the acquisition of more reliable railcars, not the GM. Elevator escalator reliability of 94%, which is due to hard work of skilled but understaffed elevator escalator department, not the GM. A reduction in rail fire, which is due to management finally procuring quality products for installation instead of trying to cut costs with cheap material. We all know that safety of Metro is number one, and the union has fought for decades for this issue to be addressed by the board and every GM that came before Mr. Wiedefield. What Paul Wiedefield has been successful at is reducing ridership by almost 100,000, reducing service, reducing the union workforce, while increasing contractor payout for poor work. The GM has refused to provide late-night service for customers attending sports events, but has pulled out all the stops to provide special service for white nationalists. In the current environment where community is being inconvenienced due to much-needed overdue repairs, this GM has launched an advertising campaign to push ridership elsewhere instead of incentivizing the community to continue using our services. Then has turned around and used that reduction in ridership to justify more cuts in service and increase in privatization. I stand here before this board asking you, when have you ever seen a company advertise for another competitor? When have you ever seen Uber advertise for Lyft? That's what the GM has been doing here at Metro and driving down the ridership and the money that we collect from the community and then turning around to attack the workforce and reduce that same service which he's inconvenienced the community of. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Our next public witness is Bill Orleans. All right. Welcome to the Metro Board. Saw you the other night.
Since I have little confidence in the authorities appointing members of this board, it follows that I probably have little confidence in those whom this board would place confidence in to do anything. Having said that, individually, occasionally, a board member might take a constructive action, and I applaud the board member for removing from the consent agenda this executive award of an executive contract. I certainly would not have consented to it. I look forward to the discussion, and I thank the board member for doing that, as well as the other board member for suggesting that the collective bargaining agreement should be subject to open discussion among the board and not decided by the board to be exclusively its consent item. I am dumbstruck by what I read this morning, and I read it quickly. I awoke late and missed the safety meeting, but I nonetheless skimmed quickly the story in the Metro section And I'm amazed. It was less than 3 years ago that this board, some sitting at this table today, some sitting in the audience, previously sitting at this table as alternates, stood and applauded the departure of Richard Sarles for the wonderful job he had done in his 6 or 7 year tenure. Within months, after some discussion, it was announced a new general manager had been picked. And within a month of his arrival, the entire system had to be shut down because things were as bad as they were. I accept that they were as bad as they were. They're still very bad. It calls into question, to me at least, the nature of a board that within months will applaud someone who's leaving, and then upon the arrival of his or could be her replacement, the system is in question and needs to be shut down. I don't consent to the award of this executive contract.
Okay, thank you very much. Next public witness, Brenda Thomas. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I'm kind of upset because I sit here and I watch this board give, you talk about you don't have money to give to your workers, but you won't give a general manager a raise that don't even get his hands dirty. At least when Carmen Turner was here, if anybody can remember her, at least she got her hands dirty. She wasn't there just standing by or sitting back at a desk. She made it. She went out there and she worked with the workers and she acknowledged them. And Jack Evans, I'm appalled because the top five union officials and myself, which I am one, came to your office and told you the issues that we had out there in the field. And you said that you'd take care of. And then I read that you feel as though Mr. Weederfield is the best coach on board. Well, he's not. He hasn't even sat down with Local 689 to discuss anything in negotiation. And I'm kind of pissed off because we don't work that way. Our contract says that we will agree and disagree. How can we agree with just one party meeting? You don't send a designee. Our president is on the same level as Weederfield, and she makes nowhere near what he makes. But we negotiate contracts, and he has not sat down with us to discuss the contract. That's why we always in court. And the papers, the people need to understand that if you're not going to sit down and be one-on-one with the individual, then don't sit at all. Just tell us, go ahead on and do what we got to do. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Our next public witness is Leona Dorsey. Leona Dorsey, are you here? No? Okay. The next witness is Brandon Goodwin. Welcome to the Metro Board.
My last name is Godwin.
Oh, Godwin. Yes. Sorry about that. Godwin.
I started working here in Metro 2014, December. So I started working here in Metro as a bus operator in 2014 out of Western Division. Not a year later, Mr. Weederfield came in and employee morale went down. So much so that people don't like coming in the door to work. And it has to do with a lot of policies that were put in place that are just inhumane, such as the one that's in arbitration for the absentee policy, the sick policy, the 72-hour notice that everyone's pretty much aware of. I'll also bring up the money thing where the constant argument is that we don't have money to pay our employees, but you make well over more than what the president makes. You make more than a Supreme Justice. And it just doesn't sit well with us when you tell us that we can't get a 4% raise and you're getting a 5 to 10% raise. Now, I understand that that's not you, that's the board. But the board is also part of the reason why we don't get our raises, I'm assuming. I don't know 100%. But they say that, you know, we don't, we make too much. It does not make sense to us. And we just want you to sit down and work with us. That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest problem that we have, is that you don't sit down and work with us, and that you send designees, just like Brenda said, to do your work for you. We can't even get as much as just a little bit of respect. And so that's why when we say we're fed up with how things are being ran in Metro, we are fed up. And it's going to show if we can't get some things in our favor. We understand that everything isn't going to be in our favor. We just want you to work with us. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Next public witness, Malcolm Augustine. Alternate member from Maryland as well. Welcome, Malcolm.
Good morning. Board members, I stand before you very, very disappointed. This is absolutely outrageous and hypocritical that the board would be considering a raise of this magnitude, a 10% raise, when the people who are working in this system have just had an arbitration agreement where they were only going to get from 0 to 3%. And members of this board and this body have complained up and down about how terrible this situation is. I mean, this is unconscionable. Who on this board are these fiscal stewards? Where are you? Where are you today? Where are we when ridership is down? What happened to joint sacrifice, which was discussed that this board has talked about for the last 3 years, where we've asked different groups to dig a little bit deeper? We've asked the public to accept all these changes and everything else. Why are you suggesting that the general manager be done different than everybody else? I think that that is absolutely the wrong message, particularly as we have not regained the trust of anyone. We got to regain trust first of the riders, of the workers, of everybody. And we have not done that as a board. And that needs to happen before you start talking about things that are, again, well beyond what anyone else has received. The second thing that I would want to say to you is this. The Riders Advisory Council is critical to this organization. It is the opportunity for the public to be a part of, and the board to receive information, directly from the people. The idea to get rid of that is unconscionable. And those are my comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Our next public witness is Jeffer Grady. If I have that correctly, I'm trying to read your handwriting here. Jeffer Grady. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Jeff Grady.
Jeff Grady.
And I recently retired after almost 30 years of service. And I have watched this tenure of what has went on over these years and have seen the things that have went on within the system. The last few years have been among the worst decisions that I've ever seen in my life. The job, place, and everywhere. Let me go over some of the things that have happened. A record loss of ridership, the Lyft and Uber, people that will never come back again. The system has deteriorated, where there is so much single tracking. And even after this so-called surge, we still have a large number of fires and inconveniences on the red line. And I'm just seeing all these things that have happened. Employee morale is at its worst point ever. Contractors have been brought in, and most of them are not well, have no training. They're just people that the company picks up and brings in so they can make money. And I really believe that our workers deserve more respect than what they have gotten in some of the inhumane policies, as people have mentioned earlier, such as if you have an emergency, you have to give notice. You can't be off. I can understand having to document that, because I know there are people that take advantage of those situations. But I really feel that in this last time, we've just been a lot of problems and things have gotten worse. The other thing is, I wanted to speak very shortly on an idea that I have where we could actually have some dedicated maintenance, where we could shut the system down on Saturday night and open it back up again on Monday morning, and we could possibly have, you know, during that time have bus service and so on, have a dedicated time frame for maintenance to get it done, as opposed to shutting it down to convenience our passengers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Grady. And finally, Michael Sindrum. Okay, welcome to the Metro Board, Mr. Sindrum.
Morning, all. Michael Sindrum, disabled veteran, served our country more than most. It's good to see Chief Anzello, cop's cop. Mr. Evans, Joe Florio, I understand you represent Ward 2, D.C., but you are the board chair. That means you represent all of us. You need to put a bug in Mr. Florio's ear. Help me, help you, help us. We need to talk more offline about that. Mr. Wedefeld, I wrote to you and had a letter delivered by hand August the 16th of 2018. As you can see, I'm writhing in pain. 10 years is not going to cut it. The issue is failure to remit payment. Craig Gross stonewalling me. I'd like to have a sit down with you. As long as you don't bite me, I ain't going to bite you. I also wrote you and had delivered by hand August 16th, 18th, an additional letter requesting a ADA reasonable accommodation. That's the law, to appear by phone for public comment. I've been stonewalled by Glenn Millis, who had a kangaroo court session with one of the attendees, the unsighted lady, falling asleep, cutting logs, snoring. How can you have a sensible decision made when you're not even listening to me? I wrote to Commissioner Hutchins back on January 26th of 2011. Where is she? Where is she? That's why I haven't gotten a response. I'm going to submit it again to you, Mr. Chair, for a timely, albeit untimely, response. Chief Pavlov, I wrote to you back on May 20th of 16 regarding a false arrest. Still haven't gotten feedback from you. 10 years. That seemed to be a malady here. And piggybacking what everybody else has said, come on, you're unresponsive. You are there because we are here. Don't forget that, please. Christian Blake, my Metro Access Labs, he assured me he'd take care of it. Hasn't been done. I don't know where he's at, but he said he'd get together with me to make that happen. That would be appreciated. And then for the veterans, how about letting us ride gratis, no charge? Freedom ain't free. And the reason why we're not ducking grenades, bullets, and mortars, because we vets have put our life on the line for due process and fundamental fairness. We let students ride, no charge, which is good. But veterans ought to have that amenity as well. I want to pass up, again, a letter to Commissioner Hutchins, to Metro Chief Transit, Police Chief Pavlak, for the record here. So I'll give it to John. Any questions, I'd be delighted to field them at this time.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Sindrum. Okay, next item on the agenda, that's the end of our public comment, is the report by the Accessory Advisory Committee, Mr. Posner. Welcome to the board, Mr. Posner.
Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to think of it as accessible rather than accessory.
What did
we're
I say?
A good accessory.
Oh, God. Accessibility. It's been a long morning, Mr. Posner.
I know. It's been long. I'd like to start out with something I hadn't planned on talking about today, and that is to congratulate Mr. Alston on the wonderful work he's done as a station manager and using first aid facilities to help people in the garage. The reason I'm congratulating is he's done a wonderful thing, but to also point out to you that, you know, there are no first aid facilities on the Metro Access vehicles. We have brought this up several times in the past, pointed out people using Metro Access are probably the most vulnerable in the system.
Keep going.
Whoops.
And you got another 2 minutes.
We don't even have a Band-Aid.
We don't have it.
If someone passes out or has a seizure on a Metro Access vehicle, the driver is told to call 911. We think that's unconscionable. We're told it's a liability issue. I think if it's not a liability on bus and rail, it shouldn't be a liability issue on Metro Access. And so I would like to point out it would be really nice to have first aid facilities available and not have to wait for 911 to show up for an issue on the Metro Access vehicles. While we're talking about Metro Access vehicles, I'd like to point out that you've heard a lot of negative things about the vehicles that were purchased from Ford in the last go-around. They have been modified and improved. They've done a wonderful job. Staff has worked and come up with some incredibly innovative procedures. They're in the process of being rehabilitated, and I would suggest it would be nice if some of the board members actually sat on one of the originally purchased vehicles to see what they were like, and then sit on the new ones and see what changes have been made. And that goes along with something I was going to talk about with procurement. Don't want to mess with procurement. I've dealt with that at the city level, state level, federal level, and private level. But what has happened in the month of August in the news is some of the things that have been purchased by WMATA that could have been purchased a little bit better. And I'll point out the Ford vehicles for Metro Access. I'll point out the brakes on the buses. I'll point out the lack of efficient soldering on the 7000 series car. And as riders and endangered riders, we worry about procurement. You have a lot of advisory committees available to you. You have a lot of resources available to you, including your alternate members who can no longer talk to you, that might point out some of these problems before they happen. And so I think it's important to take a look at the procurement procedures. I have no advice on that other than the current ones have some problems and probably need a little bit of help. On the positive side, the RFP for the new 8000 series has gone out. Our committee is going to meet with the people in charge of that at our bus rail meeting. And two of the items that we'd really like to lobby for right now is the seat height and the armrests on priority seating. What you may not realize, because you're all fit and healthy and happy, is the height of those seats is set to an ADA standard for public seating in the real world so that people can transfer from their mobility device onto that seat. They're pretty low. If you've ever tried to get out of one of the new couches that they're selling, you know how hard that is. They're low to the ground. The standard the ADA sets is really difficult to get out of for people that are not in wheelchairs. And since very few wheelchair people are going to be transferring to priority seating on rail because they have their own seats that they're already in, we'd request that the priority seats be put up at a higher level, perhaps 20 inches. And also that there be handrails, armrests, which we used to have, so that people that have muscle weakness in both their arms and their legs can actually push themselves up when they try to get out of those seats. And think about when you get out of one of those low couches in the fancy new hotels that you go to, that I go to. It's easy to sit down. It's really comfortable. Boy, you tell it, get up. So we're requesting that you consider putting those at a higher level with armrests at the priority seats. The other thing that we have seen, I was in Seattle 2 weeks ago, and one of the things they have on their light rail, and we have on our buses, are flip seats in the wheelchair spaces. And one of the major complaints I think you hear from regular customers are there's not enough seating on the regular Metro Rail cars, and particularly around the center doors, because there aren't enough hand grabs when we're stopping and starting. And one of the things that we would like you to consider is to take those wheelchair spaces and keep them as wheelchair spaces, but have flip seats available so that if there is not a wheelchair on board, those seats can be lowered and passengers can use them as priority seats. And those are two items that we did not see in the RFP that was published in the newspaper, and we will point that out at our bus rail meeting, but I'd like to bring that to you as a thought. I'd like to also thank you all pre-approval for approving our new members, which you're going to do later in the meeting, because we're short people, and from what I've seen, the list of new people are going to be really in addition to us. The next last thing is to talk to you about the cashless bus. Buses are not an amenity. They're a utility. They're electric. They're food. They're gas. They're paving. And having a cashless bus may improve speed for those people that are banked, have credit cards, have cell phones, have the ability to use it, but won't be available to people that don't have all those amenities. One of the suggestions we have had is that a second pilot be done where loading of cards on the bus be removed, but cash still be permitted. Again, in Seattle, one of the things that they do is you can, in fact, on their rail, not on their bus, you can, in fact, buy your ticket for a single pass with cash at the station. But having total ability for people without a smart trip card that live day to day, hour to hour, gathering their cash to ride the bus is something that I don't think is acceptable. We had four members of our committee attend the first hearing, and I was surprised that there is an item to pass moving forward on this project without having any data. We asked for some of the data from the study. It hasn't been crunched yet to show what the difference is in loading a card on bus versus using cash on the bus. We also made a positive suggestion. You could speed the time of loading cash on the bus simply by making the slot larger. Any of you that have tried to put a dollar bill into one of those cash vending machines knows that's not easy to do. Larger slot. So I won't go on and on about that because we've done that. The last thing, again, Mr. Augustine brought to mind is the committee, the board, has lost an incredible resource in their alternates, not being able to participate except as public speakers. As someone who served on jury duty as an alternate, I sat in a jury box waiting to be added to the jury if needed. That way I was ready to come on. Not having access to executive committee meetings or other meetings, knowing what's going on, they'd walk in and they might vote on the day that one of you doesn't show up, but what would they know? One of the suggestions I would make as a Virginian, not proud of Virginia holding you to removing them from it, is how about an AAC2, alternate advisory committee, so that they could come in at the monthly meeting and talk to you and tell you some of the expertise that they have in the area, because they have great expertise. I mean, I feel terrible about Mr. Lobby resigning. He was the one person that had incredible safety expertise, and he's no longer available for resources. So I've done my pitch, and thank you very much. I appreciate you all being back. Hope you had a good summer, and happy to answer any questions.
Okay, any questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is a report by the Riders Advisory Council, Ms. Courtum. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Thank you. Hello, y'all. And for most of you, this is also goodbye. As board members are aware, because they decided, the RAC will be dissolved next month, 13 years after it was created. The Accessibility Advisory Committee and the Youth Advisory Committee will both continue. We are disappointed in this decision, especially as we've been told both in public and in private meetings in no uncertain terms, including here at board meetings, that there were no plans whatsoever to disband the group. The RAC has never been as effective as it could be, and we acknowledge that. That's what this operational review of the last several months was for. That's why, in coordination with some board members, we created a fairly detailed plan to make the RAC more efficient and effective, from changing the membership requirements to shortening the terms, to combining committees and a number of other things. Our meetings and activities have been curtailed since February, and we haven't had new members appointed in nearly a year, even as existing members left to take jobs in other cities, leaving us at approximately half our possible total membership. We have often felt that we were shouting into a void. Questions and requests went unanswered and recommendations were ignored. As one example, Metro Police staff came to our last meeting and we had a great discussion about fare evasion and criminal behavior throughout the system. We members asked for more information on a few topics and were promised it, but nearly a month later, we haven't received any of it. WMATA is undoubtedly doing better, operationally speaking, than it has in previous years. There are fewer fires, fewer offloadings, better trains. All of that is definitely positive. But you have a serious credibility gap with the public, and you have not yet begun to fix the image of a secretive agency that is opposed to transparency. Eliminating the only direct rider connection that you have, instead of trying to fix that connection, is short-sighted and only reinforces this public perception that you're not to be trusted. Relying exclusively on an online feedback system won't help this region feel that they have a voice or any insight into your decisions. We do have one more RAC meeting left before we're dissolved in October, and that meeting is next week, 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, October 3rd, here at headquarters. Jack, we've asked that you attend that meeting, especially in light of the broken promises that the RAC would continue. And I'm happy to take any questions, if there are any.
Okay, any questions?
I don't have a question.
Comment, Mr. Thank Goldman.
You, Mr. Chair. Mr. Khartoum, the RAC has not been disbanded. That won't happen. That would require a vote of the board to do something like that, change their bylaws. That can't happen until October 25th, next month at the earliest. So I hope you, your colleagues in the RAC, continue to serve and not predict what will happen until it actually happens, if it happens, October 25th. Thank you. I agree with you. You're a valuable addition. You're important. Organization, an important part of the board's operation and its input from riders and community. I appreciate it. You can serve that capacity until some formal action is taken. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I have to be honest, I can't come on October 3rd. I'm not here. If you can have another, but I just can't come on October 3rd. I would come, but October 3rd is the night I'm not in town to do that. But anyway, just share that with you. Any other comments or questions? Christian?
I'd like to say a couple of words, Mr. Chairman. As one of the members, along with Mr. Smedberg and Ms. Porter, who participated in the operational review, this is not an outcome that I intended when we engaged with the RAC to figure out what reforms could allow it to continue. But certainly the direction of the board has been very clear, at least as I've understood it. So I felt it was prudent to advise the RAC of that direction, so that they would have an opportunity to come and speak about it and to express their opinions without the board taking action in a way that appeared to be less than transparent. So.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Torres. Comments, questions? Okay, thank you very much. All right, next item on the agenda is the report by the chair. So it is now afternoon. So good afternoon, and first I would like to take this opportunity to welcome Ms. Sonia Proctor from the Transportation Security Administration. Welcome, Sonia. Sonia is here on behalf of the TSA to present an award to Metro. Ms. Proctor is the Director of the Surface Division of the Office of Security Policy and Industry Engagement. Before I ask Ms. Proctor to begin, I'd like to tell you a little bit about her. I've actually known Sonia for many, many years. If you go back to my beginnings on the council 28 years ago. She began her law enforcement career in the District of Columbia, where she served our citizens for 25 years. And we had an opportunity to work together when she was in the 2nd District, 3rd District, and at a time in the city when the city was struggling, back in 1995. So I do want to just thank you for your service. You did a great job. You were there when we needed you. And the city is very grateful and beneficial for the service you provided back in those days. Following her service in D.C., she served as the chief of police for Amtrak, developing a new strategic blend of city policing in a passenger rail road environment. And before moving into her current role, Ms. Proctor served as the deputy federal security director at Reagan National Airport, where she provided oversight of the airport's day-to-day security operations. So, Sonia, welcome. It's great to have you here today.
Mr. Chairman, thank you so much. And thank you to the board, General Manager Wiedefeld, the directors and our guests here. Thank you so much for allowing me the time today. Mr. Chairman, as you indicated, I'm the director of the service division at TSA, and I am here today on behalf of the administrator of TSA Mr. David Pekoski. And on behalf of Administrator Pekoski, I do want to thank you for this opportunity to recognize the great work that has been done here at WMATA to secure the transportation network. And today, I'm privileged to acknowledge the hardworking and dedicated professionals here at WMATA by presenting a gold standard award in recognition of achieving security excellence. This is evidenced by the results of the most recent baseline assessment for security enhancement review, which occurred this year. This particular award is the highest level of recognition we give to surface transportation entities for their corporate security standards. And this is the third time that WMATA has been recognized with this award. TSA's, we call it the BASE program. The BASE program is designed to establish a security standard for individual security programs and to track the progress of those programs. This is a voluntary, comprehensive security review of the agency's security program, and it focuses on 17 security fundamentals that have been identified by the transit community as essential for a sound transit security program. The BASE is aimed at meeting the requirements of the 9/11 Act, which directs TSA to work with industry to address vulnerabilities throughout their security programs. To General Manager Wiedefel, you should be extremely proud of the accomplishments your staff has achieved. It speaks to your leadership in making transit security a priority within your organization, as well as the commitment that has been demonstrated by your leadership team, certainly Chief Pavlik, who has led the police department, and the remainder of your staff in achieving this goal. As all good leaders know, the people who truly deserve that thanks for a job well done are those devoted to the mission and who persevere to carry out that mission. So I want to thank you for your contributions and for enhancing the agency security program. And today I want to present you with both a letter from Administrator Pekoski and an actual award. If you'll indulge me here from Administrator Pekoski, he sends his congratulations to the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority for earning the 2018 Gold Standard Award. It gives me great pleasure to recognize WMATA's successful efforts in establishing and maintaining a strong security program, as evidenced by the high scores on your most recent baseline assessment for security enhancement review. The Transportation Security Administration developed BASE to support our strategic goals of increasing domain awareness, enhancing prevention and protection capabilities, and furthering response preparedness of transit systems nationwide. BASE is a comprehensive review of your security program, focusing on those 17 security fundamentals that constitute a sound transit security program. Your system attained high scores across all categories. This caliber of performance deserves special recognition. I commend you and your organization for the commitment and hard work this level of achievement requires, and I wish you success in maintaining the high standard of security you have demonstrated. And this is signed David P. Pekoski, Administrator, TSA. So I would like to present this to you along with the actual gold standard board. So if I may.
Yeah, come on up.
and the gold standard borders in the city of Washington authority for achieving the highest standard excellence.
Okay, well, again, thank you, Sonia. It's a great honor for Metro, and I too would like to congratulate the General Manager Wiedefeld, Metro Chief Ron Pavlik, and all of the officers for all their hard work and dedication to keeping Metro passengers safe and secure. Next, we have five vacancies on the Accessibility Advisory Committee that we need to fill. Therefore, I move the following appointments to the AAC. Deborah Cotter from the District of Columbia, Melanie Jackson from the State of Maryland, and Aaron Connies, Christina Curtis, and Stephen McGann from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Their terms are set to expire in June of 2022. I'd like to move these five nominees at this time. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Finally, again, I want to commend the leaders who made the courageous $15 billion capital investment in Metro, the milestone in our history that will allow the rebuilding of our system. For our part, the Metro Board is working to ensure that the investment delivers a great transit system for the customers and businesses who depend on Metro, as well as for Metro's workforce, who are constituent neighbors and employees of the 10th largest employer in the region. We've made a tremendous amount of progress in the last 3 years, especially in the areas of safety, service, and financial management. These accomplishments include implementing SafeTrack, creating Metro's first preventive maintenance program, achieving the highest customer satisfaction in 4 years, earning a clean audit, and restoring confidence that helped us get dedicated funding. We've taken leadership and dedication, starting from the GM and all the way to the frontline workers to bring Metro to where it is today. So that's it. I would like to just say this too, for our workers, and I know we have this exchange all the time. I know I speak on behalf of the entire board when I say, not only do we appreciate our workers, but I want to thank all of you for everything you do every day. There are 13,000 workers in Metro, on the trains, on the buses, on the platforms, everywhere. And we do appreciate your work. We do appreciate your work. And if I could pay you more, I would. I would do whatever I could. I'm hamstruck by the fact that my funds come from fare increases and from the three jurisdictions. And that's the only place I can go to get money. And if I can get the three jurisdictions to get me more money, I will pay you. And it really does come down to that. But this back and forth of how much we don't appreciate the workers is not true. We do. I do. And we appreciate that for everything you do every day. So I want to thank you. That concludes my report. Next, I would generally turn the floor over to the general manager, but he has requested to speak at the end. So I will now turn the floor over to Mr. Corcoran for the report of the finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the following items were referred to the board at the September 13th Finance Budget Committee. We had the 2018 general revenue bond resolution and bond issue. However, Mr. Chairman, I move to refer this item back to the Finance and Capital Committee for further consideration. So,
motion has been made. Is there a second? Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it.
Secondly, I move the authorization for a public hearing on peak fares for peak service. Staff sought committee authorization to conduct a public hearing on changes to Metro Rail fares regionally bent when Metro provides peak levels or beyond peak levels of service. I move that.
Motion's been made. Is there a second? Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify. I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a repeat since this was before the Finance Committee 2 weeks ago. I indicated at that point, as I'll indicate again, it's a bad idea. This is a fare increase. And it's a fare increase from people who don't deserve to get a fare increase. We're talking about a fare increase for people who come down to the mall with their families to celebrate the 4th of July. We're talking about people who come down to the mall for the things like the Women's March in January 2017, things like the March of Our Lives 2018 to exercise their First Amendment rights. This is not what we should be doing. This runs counter to a long-standing WMATA policy and practice. We didn't charge peak fares for these events, for these days. We should maintain that policy. Now, this is only a request for a public hearing, and so we should have a public hearing. And I encourage all of you who come down to the mall on the 4th of July with your wife and your children, and all of you who come down to the mall to exercise your First Amendment rights, to show up at that public hearing and to point out and to tell my colleagues why this is a bad idea and why you don't want management recommending it, why you don't want board ever approving such a fare increase. In this respect, I know I share the views of the governor of Maryland and the Maryland Department of Transportation that also opposes this as a fare increase on our passengers. And so I encourage you all to come out to the public hearing that's going to be voted by my colleagues this morning and to tell them you think it's a bad idea. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Goldman. Anything further? Mr. Price?
Mr. Dorsey, so thank you. So I will say that, you know, even though the public hearing will allow us to have a fuller discussion, I do feel that with Mr. Goldman's statement, I ought to just mention that there is also an equity issue, that people who ride the system and who pay peak service ought not to necessarily have to subsidize those who enjoy peak service just because they come at traditional off-peak times. That's a useful discussion for this agency to have. So as people who are interested in the status quo of being able to ride to those events while enjoying peak service at off-peak times, hopefully this is a call for others who have to pay peak service at other times to also come out and express their opinion so that we can have a robust public hearing.
Okay, thank you. Anything further? Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Could you record abstentions, please?
I'm sorry. Any abstentions? Mr. Goldman?
I abstain.
The ayes have it. Okay, Mr. Corbin.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. Next, I move approval for joint development solicitation for Huntington Station in Virginia. Staff sought committee authorization to issue a joint development solicitation for the Huntington Metro Station. Development on portions of the Metro Station site will provide the opportunity to increase transit ridership, improve pedestrian access, and integrate a proposed bus rapid transit terminus, and enjoys the support of the local community and local elected officials.
I move. Okay, motion has been made. Is there a second? Discussion? Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, finally, Mr. Corcoran.
And lastly, I move approval for a public hearing on the Deanwood Station or staff report concerning Deanwood Station. Staff sought committee approval of the compact hearing staff report, which proposed removal of the 194-space park and ride to facilitate a joint development project at the Deanwood Metro Station. And secondly, the amendment of the general plans and adopted regional system known as the mass transit plan to remove the 194 space park and ride lot without replacement. Mr. Chairman, I feel
A motion's been made. Is there a second? Second. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Corcoran. Final thing. The next item is the consent agenda. We have four items on the board's consent agenda today. I would like to move approval of the following. Approval of revisions to equal employment opportunity and affirmative action policy. Staff requests board approval of the attached equal employment opportunity and affirmative action policy, which incorporates the latest FTA and Office of Federal Contract Compliance Program requirements. B, Local 2 collective bargaining agreement. Staff requests approval of the negotiated 2016 to 2021 collective bargaining agreement with Local 2 of the Office and Professional Employees International Union, AFL-CIO. Item B, approval of revisions to board travel policy. The board is being asked to update its travel policy to remove outdated language and more closely align its policy with current travel procedures and industry practices. E, use of Montgomery County parking surcharge funds. Staff requests board approval to use up to $1.5 million of the parking surcharge reserve account funds for the Wheaton parking garage improvements. So I'd like to move the consent agenda with these four items. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, we now have the final two items which were removed from the consent agenda. First is the item C, which is the approval of the ATU, let me get out of here, the approval of the ATU Local 689 Collective Bargaining Agreement. Staff requests approval of the 2016 to 2020 Collective Bargaining Agreement with Local 689 of the Amalgamated Transit Union based on the interest arbitration award between WMATA and the union. So I would like to move this at this time. Is there a second? Okay, discussion. Let me have discussion. Mr. Dorsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for accommodating my request to discuss this as a regular hearing item. And from Northern Virginia jurisdictions, there are a couple of items of concern. None of them have to do with the merits of the contract, and we are pleased that we could have a path forward with ATU 689, our largest union. But when it comes to implementing the award and the funding requirements therein, there are some concerns given the dates and the cycles of the governments that fund transit in Northern Virginia. And specifically, where that comes into the resolution is in the whereas clause number 5, I believe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's correct. Which currently reads, whereas the estimated impact of the award to WMATA's fiscal year 18 budget is $23.1 million. Should be noted to everyone that in the public facing resolution that was just available a couple of days ago, that number was around $7.5 million. And in Northern Virginia, we have this weird habit of actually reading the resolutions and looking at those as our sort of guiding document. And many local governments planned or thought that they were consenting to fund that figure, which was something that people were prepared to do. However, more than tripling of that creates a problem in terms of thinking about how we're actually going to meet that funding obligation. And we'd like to have some time to socialize what are some ways that we could accomplish it. So with that, we propose, and I think the simplest way to do this, even though we could make it hard, but we could also make it easy. And I think the way to make it easy, perhaps, is to pursue in the whereas clauses, in the one I just read, as well as the next one, it asks that the additional contributions from the jurisdictions come no later than December 31st, 2018, and no later than June 30th, 2019, respectively. Instead of the language, no later than, it could say on or around. We have asked WMATA finance staff and understand that that is an acceptable amendment to them. The next one, haven't had the chance to fully socialize, but hopefully it will also be amenable to staff, is to look at the third resolve clause and to just make clear that there are options to pursue getting this funding from the jurisdictions to also include accessing the line of credit. So what I would propose is that it read, resolve that the GM CEO and chief financial officer are authorized to seek additional funding or to access WMATA's lines of credit to cover the total estimated impact, and everything else would read as it is.
Is that it, Mr.
Yes.
Okay. Here's what I'd recommend, since they're very different. Why don't we do the first one? Why don't you move the first one, and then
sure.
We can talk about that, and then we'll move the second one.
Thank
so,
you.
You want to just make a motion on the first one?
Yes, sir. I would like to make a motion, Mr. Chairman, that we amend the whereas clauses 5 and 6 to change the language that jurisdictional contributions come no later than the dates that are inserted, that the language be changed to read on or around.
Okay, a motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any discussion?
Just a question.
Yes. Mr.
How many days is around? The language is very specific. And if jurisdictions need some leeway, I understand that, but what is on, how many days or weeks or months is on or around?
For our purposes, 3 days is what we would see as the necessary number needed. We can do a date specific if that's something that gives people greater comfort.
Okay. I'm not saying I need that necessarily, just want to get a sense of how much we're talking.
Okay,
so can I ask?
Yeah.
Respect briefly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Horner.
The dates. So, Mr. Dorsey, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for your amendment. The dates, kind of the change in language, are reflecting risk, the possibility that payments under the agreement would come due before funding arrives.
I'm sorry, say that again, Mr. Warner.
So does the change in language you're proposing risk the possibility that payment from WMATA to employees would come due before the funding from the jurisdictions arrives?
I don't think so. The purpose of this, just to be fully transparent and clear, is to allow jurisdictions the option of figuring out specifically with the second whereas whether we can get that rolled into our 2020 budgets. So it gives us additional flexibility on figuring out how to fund the amount. So this is really not to change the level of commitment to WMATA, it's to give us more flexibility in how to fund it.
Further questions, comments, or Price?
Yeah, would you mind placing in there 3 days? I'm uncomfortable with around. I like for that to be defined. Is that possible? Not to exceed 3 days or whatever you choose to do.
It is possible. You know what? Just to make it simple, why don't we say this? How about I withdraw my motion and I put some actual dates on this? Will that
that's fine.
Be better
that's
for
fine.
People?
Yeah. Okay. That'll be great.
All right. So instead of on or around, we can keep the no later than, and for the first whereas clause, we'll say no later than January 2nd, 2019, and the second one would be no later than July 2nd, 2019.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman, I'm good with that.
A new motion's been made.
Yeah.
Is there a second?
Second. Second.
All right, back to discussion, Mr. Price.
I'm good.
You're good.
Okay. I'm good. Thank
all right.
You.
Discussion on the new motion. Seeing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. The ayes have it. Okay, Mr. Dorsey, your second on the resolve.
All right, so the second one would be to, excuse me, it would be to insert language in the third resolve clause so that it would read, resolve that the GM CEO and the chief financial officer are authorized to seek additional funding or to access WMATA lines of credit to cover total estimated impact of $48.2 million to the FY 18 and 19 budgets, and everything else would follow accordingly.
Okay. Actually, do you want to put that funding from the local jurisdictions or just to put it kind of where it belongs there?
Yeah, make the language work,
yep.
However.
Okay, you know, however it makes sense. Okay, motion's been made. Is there a second? Second, any discussion?
Discussion here. Sorry?
Second. All right, discussion?
Here. I have concerns from a business practice point of view, accessing a line of credit for this purpose here. I think it's very poor business practices. It's not the purpose for a line of credit.
May I make a comment briefly, Mr. Chairman? Thank you.
Porter.
Yes. I don't object to the creation of the opportunity for WMATA to draw on its line of credit to pay in advance to Virginia to fund its contribution, so long as Virginia pledges some security for the draw that WMATA would make on behalf of Virginia. So.
Okay, thanks for your comment. Mr. Dorsey.
You know, the WMATA lines of credit are backed by all of the funding entities, and this is not something that is solely to benefit Virginia. I'm sure if we had a fulsome and transparent conversation, this is something that's an option that the state of Maryland and the District of Columbia would like as well. So this is not to deal with any one specific jurisdiction's concern. It's, again, provide the broadest possible options to make sure we fund what we need to fund, recognizing that WMATA is simply an important one, but just one of many priorities that our respective jurisdictions have to fund. And this flexibility is necessary, given that we're having to make these decisions in a matter of weeks without careful deliberation from our finance staffs on how this is going to work with our overall budgets.
Okay, further? Yes, Mr. Price.
Go ahead. You'll see.
All right.
I just want to clarify. The language I heard sounds like it creates a situation where one jurisdiction would hold its timely contributions, line of credit would be drawn, but the collective responsibility of all the funding jurisdictions to repay that line of credit, as opposed to the jurisdiction whose lack of payment created that draw. So, should the resolution make it clear if the line of credit is accessed, that pledge of security, what I'm saying, something that makes it more clear that it's not a collective responsibility to repay, but whoever did not make the time. And again, this is, And I don't want to micromanage. This is not something that's have dog in the fight, but just trying to get clarity.
Jim?
I think perhaps we could ask staff on this question. I think that language exists because on other bonds, in certain jurisdictions, we put up cash under the cell as compared to take the bond. So I think if we use that same common language, that's reconcile drafting
things. It, you know, removes any possible incentive to. Yeah.
Okay. Anything further? Hold on. Anything?
The chief financial officer, would it be possible for me to allow him to elaborate on this at all, or is that improper?
No, sure. Juan Dennis, you got something you want
Dennis,
to put on the record?
Yes, I want to say.
Tell him who you are so everybody knows.
Sorry.
Dennis Anosike, chief financial officer. With respect to the amendment that Mr. Dorsey just proposed, it is clearly a direction to WMATA to borrow funds on behalf of a jurisdiction. At this point, I'm not sure. We have no clarity on who will be making that request of the organization. So I do not know how much will be requested of us. But clearly, the line of credit exists to address cash flow challenges. But this is an increase in the aggregate obligations for the organization and should be the direct responsibilities of the jurisdictions.
Okay. All right, very good. Any further comments, questions? All right, the motion is before us. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
All right. We have you. Who's opposed? Steve's opposed. Dave's opposed. Corbett's opposed. The motion passes. Okay, next item on the agenda is the Executive Employment Agreement Amendment. The board seeks to extend the term of the general manager's contract for 2 years with automatic one-year extensions, increase his base salary, provide for an annual. What? Oh, I'm sorry. We have to do that. All right. Let's get back to that again. In my hurry to move ahead. Okay. The main motion of the approval of the ATU contract, collective contract bargaining agreement, was moved and seconded. And we had several amendments to that, which were both passed. So now we have the item before us as amended, the approval of the ATU Local 689 collective bargaining agreement contract as amended. So that is now before us. Is there any discussion on that as amended? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Abstentions? Mr. Horner extends. All righty. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the Executive Employment Agreement Amendment. The board seeks to extend the term of the general manager's contract for 2 years with automatic one-year extensions, increase his base salary, provide for an annual base salary adjustment based on performance, and change the severance benefits from 1 year to 24 months for termination without cause. So I'd like to move this at this time. Is there a second? Is there any discussion?
There is discussion.
Mr. Goldman.
Thank you. Since there doesn't seem to be anyone who at this point wants to speak in favor of it, I'll speak against it. I think this is another bad idea. Before I tell you why I think it's a bad idea to move this resolution today, I want to tell you that I think that Paul Wiedefeld has done a tremendous job with a very tough assignment he's been given to be a general manager of this organization. He has my full support, has had my full support over the last 3 years, will have my full support going forward. Since he took over in November 2015, I believe the safety of the system, the reliability of the system, the protection of our riders, and the care of our riders have improved markedly. I'm very aware of that since I was present throughout this whole period from Harold Glover's death and the circumstances that followed with the employment of Paul Wiedefeld. I support the specific initiatives he's brought forward that have met with some opposition. The Cinderbed Road facility, the offering of that out for bidding for operation of that bus operation. And second of all, the recent Silver Line Phase 2 RFP, which contemplates that the Silver Line extension, the operation of those stations, the maintenance yards, and other facilities surrounding that operation could be in the hands of another entity. Those efforts also have my full support. But what doesn't have my full support is moving forward today with a compensation package. It doesn't have my support because I think the timing is wrong and I think the process is wrong. As to the timing, you've just witnessed our approval of a 689 contract arbitration award and another arbitration award. As my colleague from Maryland, Malcolm Augustine, stated maybe 15, 20 minutes ago when he spoke for his 2 minutes. We should be in an effort of shared sacrifice. But the actions we're taking today don't demonstrate any shared sacrifice. What we've done is we've asked the employees to give pain. We've asked the employees, after we've had poor mouth to the arbitrators for the last year and a half, that we don't have any money to pay our employees, and the arbitrators bought that argument and came in with a very reasonable very lowball result that I'm sure doesn't make a lot of employees very happy. At the same time, you've just witnessed the discussion that it's now going to cost this authority $50 million to meet the initial 2 years of that arbitration award. So we're asking sacrifice from the employees. We're asking sacrifice from the local jurisdictions that support this authority and support it with big dollars. I should point out that this authority's operating budget is $1.8 billion. You ask, how many of those dollars do the riders contribute? $800 million. So $1 billion in our current budget being paid for by local jurisdictions. More than half of the budget of this authority is coming out of the taxpayers of Maryland, District of Columbia, and various jurisdictions in Virginia. So the optics of this are bad. We shouldn't be inflicting, requiring pain from our riders and pain from our jurisdictions and pain from employees. And on the other hand, making a significant increase in the compensation for our general manager, however much he may deserve an increase in his compensation at some point. But the proper time to do that is at the end of the year, when the general manager will be open to completing the third year of his contract with this organization that began in November 2015, and we will do a performance review of his work and his achievements. And it's at that point that this board should decide whether an increase in compensation, performance bonus, or other improvements in his compensation package is appropriate. My colleagues, though, have decided to pursue it at this point in time, and I think that's wrong. I think that's bad policy, and I don't think that's something we should be doing. So I will be voting in opposition to this compensation package at this time.
Further comments? Then I'll speak in favor of it. So that is on the record as well. And I do support this. I think it's unfair to say that this is a something that is a big compensation package. So I'll recount the history here. Our general manager was entitled to a bonus and other increases after his first, second years on the job, and he turned them down. And he has not had any increase in his compensation or in any other fashion in the almost now 3 years that he has worked for us. I believe Paul Wiedefeld has done a very, very good job for this organization, even though others don't necessarily agree with that. I do. And I think as a result, I want to make sure that he stays, and I want to make sure that his senior staff who work for Metro, a good team that Paul's put together, stay as well. It is not a misstatement to say that we have a very good general manager and staff who are being pursued by other transit organizations as well. And I would not like to see them leave because they get a better offer somewhere else. This, in my years here, going back in my first go around in the 90s and this time around, there was no more difficult job than hiring a general manager. I remember in the 90s when Dave Gunn quit and we had to bring somebody in, and that one didn't work out, and we had to get somebody else. We ended up finally with Dick White, who turned out quite good at the time. It was very difficult, and although it was brand new at the time, I remember the gyrations we went through here when we were hiring Paul Wiedefeld. And I would not like to see this organization go through that again. I think the stability is critical. And I think, again, sending a message to our senior staff is very important, that we value them as well as we value everyone else in this organization. What is being requested here is not unreasonable. I can't remember the numbers right in front of me, but it's something like a 3% increase over the term of Mr. Wiedefeld being here. An extension of 2 years is not unreasonable to make sure that people understand there is this continuity here. So I think these are very important actions that we're taking today to continue the stability at Metro that was not here before this. And I don't care what anybody says, it wasn't. When I walked in the door here 3 years ago, this place was in free fall, financially, operation-wise, and every other wise you could think of. And to talk about losing confidence, yeah, the reason had lost confidence in this place, as had everybody else. That has turned around enormously. When I go around the region now and speak, there's enormous confidence that has returned to this organization. Largely, it was the result of our general manager, our workforce, our board, and everything else that goes around with it. So I think this is an action that needs to be taken today, and hopefully we will approve this and continue to move forward. You know, I got to tell you, my 28 years in government, I can tell you the one thing that people hate is change. They vote for it, they think they want it, but anytime we change anything, whether it's a stop sign at the end of the street, everyone goes crazy. And it takes, I'm just going to say this, it takes political courage to move in the face of that. And so that's why there are some of us here, and that's why there are some of us who aren't. So I'm prepared to move forward with this today. I think it's the right thing to do. Any further discussion anybody has?
When the Maryland Governor's Office approached Sturgeon, there were a couple of different boards. And they came back and said, really would like to consider the Vermont board. I'm a lifetime resident. And the question I had was, is Vermont really serious about making some improvements? I had seen that the current CEO shut down the system, having worked with the federal government and worked at the Office of Personnel Management. A decision to shut down the federal government, a decision like that, decision that the Office of Personnel Management doesn't make it vacuum. It has to go over and have a conversation with Chief of Staff, with the President. I have also had the opportunity to lead transformation similar to what our general manager leads. If you ever want the most thankless job in the world you can ever find, just come in and drive you. In the early days, everyone tells you, we want you to come fix this. But shortly thereafter, you go about making change. It's like gutting an old house. People are living in it, these new walls, floor. But boy, when you start to gut that building, thought it looked bad before. We're in the middle of that, now have a real mess. We're wondering whether it was really worth it. And it looks like, if you just come and take some pictures in the early day, it looks like you've actually made a mistake and the people in charge are not. So having watched what he's going through and watched the change, and also want to compliment the board. The board has supported some really significant things. The other thing that the general manager and the board are now faced with is all of the easy, fluffy decisions and non-decisions that people have made over the years. What remains right now for management board are a whole bunch of tough decisions. I've been impressed with the board. I believe that the board is trying to figure out the right thing to do. I'm impressed with management. They are also trying to figure out the right thing to do. But we have a host of ugly decisions to make over the coming years. And I suspect that people will compliment us, but I'll probably at other times they'll want to run us out of town. But I believe, though, that we're headed in the right direction. We have this capital program right now. The last thing we need to do, with all, we've seen what happens when you don't manage it well with the silver line. So the last thing we need to do is introduce more change. For those who don't, haven't had the opportunity to see it, leadership matters. Leadership matters. Losing competent leadership could spell disaster or major loss or waste of the taxpayer dollars, my colleagues talked about. So I will be voting in favor of the
Hey, thank you very much. Any further comment? Mr. Corcoran.
On behalf of Virginia, I'd like to say thank you to Paul Gisell for what he brought forward last year. When Paul arrived here, there was zero confidence in this organization by ridership. That has changed. In survey after survey, comment after comment, even the Washington Post has lauded the leadership. Paul, leadership is important, Clarence. Leadership is what got us here. The dedicated funding we got would not have happened without the confidence of the elected leaders in the area of the leadership of this organization under Paul. So I want to compliment Paul on that leadership and say that I, in fact, will be voting for this as well.
Further comments? Yes, Mr. Horner.
To reinforce the appreciation for Paul, I'd like to acknowledge that Paul, in the darkest hours of the system, displayed an immense amount of backbone and foresight, courage, and when others were running for the tall grass, pointing fingers. I'd also like to say that I'd just like to observe the dignity with which Paul bears personal insults. He does it well because he's faithful to the mission of this organization. And when he's done, he'll be remembered as a critical personality in the history of this transit property. So I want to thank him for his efforts. And may I say lastly that it may be believed that this is bad policy, but good politics. In fact, I think the opposite is true. It's shown to be true over time. It is good politics and good policy. And I hope that we can see approval of this contract on the basis of votes of the majority of the board.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Horner. Further? Mr. Dorsey?
Just very briefly, Mr. Chairman, I'd say that, you know, the contract, the term sheet that has been publicized, if you look at other transit agency heads, this is by no means a generous contract by those standards. It doesn't include many of the typical perks and other benefits that other transit agency heads enjoy. So I'm comfortable that this is a fiscally responsible and sound contract for the general manager. More than anything, though, I think it's regrettable that we're having this kind of a conversation in public, and I'd like to associate myself with the general approach outlined by our chair in terms of how we viewed this within the increases that have not been given over the last couple of years as being something that does reflect just general good governance on this board's part, and also to just send a signal, despite the fact that the board is clearly sending a signal that we support the general manager and believe that his performance has been commendable. We recognize that other people don't agree. However, we all have to actually find a way to work together moving forward. The contract with ATU is in place for the next couple of years. We hope to have peace. I can look at whomever I want. Thank you. So
please, everyone. Respect everyone when they're talking.
So moving forward, we actually have to figure out how to work together. The union that we care about, value, and the general manager who we support. And at this point, hopefully, once everyone knows that they're here to stay, we can get to that point where we are working constructively together. That is my hope. It remains to be seen whether it will be realized.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Dorsey. Further? Okay. Yes, Mr.
Yes. I feel compelled to speak at this point. Don't let my silence be misinterpreted. I concur with all the statements and observations that my colleagues have shared thus far, with the exception of the no vote. I commend my colleague for showing a great deal of political courage in terms of supporting this, and I commend you for your thoughtfulness,
thank you,
your leadership, and so thereby I support it. I recognize that it's a very tough job to be a restructuring person or transformation person, whatever terms you want to use. It's a lonely job, and Clarence is right. You're hailed when you come in, and when you start really getting into it, that's when you uncover all the issues here. So in supporting this, I also want us to take some steps to increase our efforts to reach out to the union. We're going to have to bridge this gap somehow. And so, Paul, I'm sure you will proceed with trying to do that. We as a board are committed to it. I recognize the hard work that our workforce has put forward. And I do concur with Mr. Evans that if we had more money, I would be the first person to vote for additional dollars. And so from that point of view, I know it's a controversial comment here, but I'm in supporting this, and thank you for your service, Paul, and I want to continue to support you.
Okay, anything further? Okay, seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, any abstentions? The motion passes. Okay, our last item on the agenda, or next to last item, is a report by the general manager, Mr. Wiedefeld.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I'll keep my comments very short given the time, but I just wanted to thank you for the vote of confidence in the leadership. But what that really reflects is the leadership of the entire organization, particularly the management team that we have in place. And I look forward to working with this board through the year 2021. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Wiedefeld. Last item on the agenda, reports by the jurisdictions, the District of Columbia. We are entering into the fall, in which there's a lot of activities in the District of Columbia, Marine Corps Marathon, races, sporting events, opening of the Washington Capitals, our Stanley Cup champions, next Wednesday. So a lot of things happening, and a lot of people will be riding on our system. And so I am looking forward to that. And again, as hollow as it may sound, I really appreciate all the hard work by all our employees. And I know because you work hard, our citizens and residents and everyone who rides the system to all these events really appreciates that. So we look forward to a very constructive fall as we go forward. WSTC, Mr. Crawford.
Chairman, we will be hearing more information about our public hearing coming up, one in Prince George's County, the other one in Montgomery County, which will be publicized and shortly. Thank you.
All right, NBTC, Mr. Corcoran. Federal government, Mr. Horner.
There's no report.
Okay, and with that, the meeting's adjourned.